Lord, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. Father God, we come before you thanking thee for the many blessings that are afforded to us on this, the Lord's Day. This day we tuck aside each week to worship thee, to learn of thee, to be with other brothers and sisters, to be those that proclaim the gospel with our coming together into thy house. And we look forward to looking into thy word, where there is truth and life and an abundancy. Father God, we confess our sin ever before thee. We thank thee that we can run to Christ, our Savior, who is an advocate at the right hand of God. Lord, we adore thee for that. And forever we will praise thy name in courts of glory, as we know that love does endure forever. Bless us now as we open thy word. In your Son's name we do pray this. Amen. Brothers and sisters, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to continue on in the past few times that I've been before you. We've been going through the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'd like to finish it while it is a very deep chapter, but I believe with the Lord's help we should be able to conclude it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just for the context of the scripture, I'd like to read the entirety of the chapter this afternoon. The Apostle Paul writes, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." I'd like to conclude reading God's word with the 13th verse. One of the things that Brother John prayed in his prayer is a very interesting verse where Jesus says, in John chapter 13, verse 35, he says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." It's a little bit fascinating that the world is going to know one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways the world is going to know that we are his children is by the love that we exhibit and show toward others. And so then the Apostle Paul speaks of this love quite particularly in the midst of what would be one of the deepest subjects on how a church should work, and one of the deepest subjects of how churches should get along with each other, work together. He talks about love. In the last two messages that we've had on 1 Corinthians 13, one of the challenges that I place before all of us is, if you were to put your name, insert your name with the word charity, how would you fare? Now, most of the time, we are more critical of others. I would say that we would look askew at someone else more. We would look more carefully. We might think, yes, I do, you know, verse 4, I suffer long, I'm patient, I'm kind, I don't envy, I don't beat my chest, I'm not arrogant. But perhaps the question that we should ask, maybe the question that you should ask is, how do other people view you? How do other brothers and sisters view you? Would they, with confidence, be able to name your name in the name of charity? Is Sam loving? Is Sam patient? Does Sam not envy? Does he not behave inappropriately? Do you not seek your own? And then from there, go one step further and say, in the West Akron Church, would others view the West Akron Church as one that is loving, that is not seek their own, that is patient, never failing, does not rejoice in wrongdoing? Laha, you get what you pay for. You're getting what is coming to you. So those are two things as we're going through this chapter, as we finish up this chapter, Lord willing, that I want us to keep in mind. Keep that in your mind as we're going through here. And love is paramount. More and more as we work together as a church. If you have your own ministry privately somewhere, you're doing something, whether it's passing out tracts or Bibles to people, and you're doing it with your own money, with your own time, you're going around, you're maybe going neighborhood door to door, and you're doing these things, love is not really required at that point amongst other brothers and sisters. Because you independently can do this of your own volition, of your own resources, of your own time and energy. But when we as a church are called to gather together, to work together as a body of Christ, that's where love is more and more critical. That love is the lubricant, the agent that makes a church work together. And this afternoon, I'd like us to remember one of the scriptures that Jesus had, and one of the scriptures that Jesus, when he was nearing his death, we remember that Mary poured ointment on his head. And it poured all the way down to his feet. And Judas in John said, why was this waste happen? We could have sold all this perfume, and it was a year's wages. If a guy makes $30 an hour at a factory, that's around $60,000 a year. That's a lot of money to pour over somebody's head to be anointed. It seems like a waste of money. It seems like a waste. And Judas said that. We might think, oh, Judas said it. Judas is the guy that's going to betray Jesus. In John, we read that Judas was one that was stealing from the money. He was also embezzling. So, yeah, Judas would have intention. He would want that $60,000. He'd want to do that. That makes sense. But the scripture says in chapter 26 that the disciples said this. But when the disciples saw this in verse 8, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? The disciples, those that would be propagating the gospel after Jesus was gone, his disciples assumed it was waste. They didn't even say, is this waste? They said, to what purpose is this waste? There was a lack of love there that the disciples had for what Mary was doing, and Mary was anointing Jesus' feet for his crucifixion, for his death. So brothers and sisters and friends, love is so important as we as a church interact with each other, engage with each other for the purposes of the kingdom, because none of us is able in and of ourselves, no matter how talented each of us is, no matter how talented you are, no matter how God has gifted you, I do not have by myself the ability to effect, to do the work of the church. The work of the church in 1 Corinthians 12 is a body joined together, working together. And in order to do that, there needs to be love and respect and admiration and encouragement and tolerance of one another. And the larger the church becomes, the more of that love is needed. And the more diverse the church becomes, the more that there's feet dealing with hands, dealing with other appendages that join them and all this other stuff, the more love is needed. And so then the Apostle Paul, realizing how important that is in churches, continues and speaks about love in the middle of this discourse about how a church should work. For a church to be effective, there needs to be the lubrication of love. And last time when we picked off, I'd like to begin reading with where we ended up. And that was in verse 5. Just to go through, charity, verse 4, charity suffers long, is patient, is kind, it does not envy, it is not desire what other people have or that they don't have their gifts. So that's not what love does. Charity does not vaunt itself up, is not arrogant, is not proud. It does, verse 5, it does not behave inappropriately, does not seek their own. I think we as Christians, we like to have it our own way. We like to have it the way we want it. And we may have reasons for it. We may articulate to others the reasons we want it this way, whether it's always been done this way or we found a new way. But more than likely what the reason is we want to do it our way. Longevity does not make something that we are doing right. If a man is pounding his head against the wall day after day after day, somebody could probably say, the reason you're getting a headache is because you're pounding your head against the wall day after day after day. Just because when we do something continually does not always make it the right thing to do. But sometimes we as believers, we as humans, we like things our own way. So seeks not her own, but the betterment of the church, the betterment of others, is not easily provoked, is not easily agitated. When somebody pokes the bear, they're not going to respond in kind. The world, if we get attacked by others in the world teaches, hit them hard back so they cannot fight you, so they will never attack you again. But that's not what Christ teaches. That's not indeed what he did. We're thankful that he didn't do that. He had armies of angels that could have come down. He could have called at any time, and he chose to restrain himself, which is what meekness is. Meekness is power under control. Meekness and love are very similar. They're not the same. But meekness is when you have the authority, when you have the power, when you have the right, when you could eviscerate somebody maybe with an argument, when you could maybe humiliate somebody with a cogent, clear argument that you could really lay it out. Maybe theologically, you know something clear, simple. The loving thing would be to pull them aside quietly and teach them gently. The worldly way is to eviscerate and show who's on top, who's boss, who knows something more. But that's not what love is. We know Jesus could have done that at many times. He could have annihilated the arguments of the Pharisees, and he did, but he did it always with the gospel message. Not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. We ended on that. Thinks no evil, does not keep a log. For Christians, for us as believers to really work well, we don't keep a log of the evil that was done. We don't keep a ledger. This is an accounting term. We don't have a ledger saying this was done, this was done, this was done. Try as hard as you can, brothers and sisters, to forget the evil, the slight that you had, the apparent slight where somebody didn't shake your hand, didn't say hi to you, overlooked you, didn't ask you to do something that you thought should have been asked of you, didn't compliment you, didn't congratulate you. Whatever the slight that we had, maybe even overtly said something false or portrayed you in a bad light, portrayed me in a bad light. Don't keep a ledger. Don't log. The word in the Greek is logismo. Don't log those things down. Rejoice is not in iniquity. Doesn't rejoice even when somebody is doing something and they get hurt by it. Maybe you even counseled them. Maybe you even advised them. Maybe we even told them, don't do this. You're going to fall. And then they fall. What's the worldly way to attack it and to handle it is, I told you so. He got what was coming. But rejoices in the truth, loves the truth of the matter. And then here we see here that in verse 8, all these things in this world are so temporal. But the Apostle Paul says, charity never fails, it endures. Verse 7, what does charity do? It bears all things. The word bear in the Greek is a little bit like to put a roof over someone, to cover them, to protect them. And the story goes, I don't know how accurate it is, so it's just a story to show a truth. The story goes about probably during the Middle Ages, of a husband and a wife, where the husband was accused of a crime and his penalty was death. And the rule of that time was where when the clock would strike, when these large bells would strike noon, the husband would be executed. And so, knowing that she appealed to the magistrate, that they would be overturned, that the sentence would be commuted, it wasn't. And so noontime came around, but the bell did not ring. It was a muffled bell, muffled sound. And what they had found is that the wife had gone around the bell, and while it was clanging, it was clanging on her, bruising her over and over, but the bell did not sound. That's what love is. That type of imagery where love covers, love home, puts a roof over, protects. The scripture says love covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of transgressions, a multitude of heartache, a multitude of misunderstandings. And I think sometimes what comes to our mind, because I think we're natural skeptics. It might even be from our Eastern European background, we are skeptics. We're skeptics of government. Many of our forefathers, if not most of us, came over here because of the communism and the socialism in the former Yugoslavia. My grandpa would say, I came here, he said, because I didn't want my children to become atheists or communists. So we have a healthy distrust of the government. But that skepticism that we have, I believe also we have to challenge ourselves, leaks into how we handle and how we deal with other brothers and sisters. Because Paul goes on to say, not only does it cover, but it bears all things, believes all things. What do you mean by believes all things? There's a lot of mistruth out there. Shouldn't we figure stuff out? But I think what Paul is saying here is, when somebody has an intention or somebody's doing something, we look at them and we think, well, I remember what they did before. They acted this way before. I believe that their intention is this. And they may even dispute that, and that's not my intention. Well, I don't know. I've seen you do this before, and this is what happened. Therefore, what we start playing is we start playing mind readers. We start reading intentions of people's hearts. Because with a fellowship as close as ours is, as the Apostolic Christian Church is, I do believe we get to know each other very well. Other denominations may not have this challenge, but this is something that comes, one of the wonderful things of our fellowship is that we do have that closeness. But it's also a challenge that we have, because we do know so much about each other. that sometimes that can cloud us. And when we see something happening and we see somebody doing something, that we immediately look askew with a skepticism, wondering, is that really what their intention is? Is that really what they're doing? What's really going on? What's behind their motives? Why is he doing that? Paul is saying that's not love. And sometimes we, even as Christians, will say, well, I don't want to be bamboozled. I think sometimes we're so far from being bamboozled. We're so far from being fooled. We need to err more on the side of the scripture that says we need to believe all things. So this is not a license. I have to say it because it's okay if somebody approaches me afterwards, I encourage that to some extent. This is not a license to believe everybody and just say, all, you know, whatever they're doing, I see you did something, I see you plowed into that car. No, I really didn't. I'm probably not going to believe that if I saw it with my own eyes. So this is not a defense of just doing anything and being hoodwinked by someone saying, yeah, it's not that way. You're not seeing what you think you're seeing. But this is when we see us working in a church, when we're talking about a church working together, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, that we believe all things, that we hope all things, and that we endure all things. There's a time factor to this too. There's an endurance that goes on, because why? Charity never fails. Brothers and sisters, the only reason that we're going to be sitting in eternity forever is because charity, the true purpose, the true image of charity, Jesus Christ, will be sitting in courts of glory, the perfect image of the Father, Jesus Christ. And we will see in his hands, like he was in his resurrected state, his glorified body, we will see his hands. We will see the imagery. We will be forever reminded and forever thankful that indeed love endures. The agape love will forever endure. Our sin, which would require eternal separation from the Father, will be in heaven for all eternity because of Jesus Christ. That love endures. That love never fails. And then he goes on to say, what does fail? Whether there be prophecies, and this prophecies is when you prophetically share something, foretell something, or what I'm doing like right now, where by inspiration, by the Word of God, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Scripture interpreting Scripture, foretelling something, telling about something, telling the gospel message. When you and we're teaching Sunday school, we're teaching lessons, when we're talking to our neighbors, our friends, that can also be included, and that's what we have now. We know that prophecies have ceased with the finish of the canon of scriptures, with Revelation. We know that prophecies, continual New Testament scripture has ceased, but the prophecy of telling and sharing the gospel continues on, but it says they shall fail. They shall fail. The idea there is that something will stop it. Something will come that will stop it. And we also see that the last one, in verse 8, knowledge will also vanish away. It's the same Greek word. Something will act upon knowledge and stop it. Something will act upon prophecies and stop it. And we see that tongues, we know that tongues is languages, the speaking, the natural ability, the natural supernatural ability of speaking in languages will cease. They will cease on their own. They will no longer be necessary. And we can see that without going much into it, and I'm sure there'll be a few that may have some healthy skepticism of this, but it seems like in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians possibly, after that, speaking in tongues has not been mentioned. It's not mentioned in Paul's other epistles. And it seems like at this moment, this was going on, and then the need for tongues ceased. So the history of the church shows that tongues themselves, they ceased, they stopped, because there was no more need for them. On their own, they stopped. And then the Apostle Paul goes and says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. We are now continually doing that. There's continual knowledge. There's prophecy that goes on. And we will continue to do prophecy. We'll continue to profess God's word. We will continue to know knowledge, to search for knowledge. And my challenge in the coming year, brothers and sisters, is to be diligent in reading God's word. Take the time. Use the resources you have. Use the phones that you have to listen. If you don't have the time, if you're traveling a lot, the primary thing that you should be listening to, while it's very comfortable at times to be spoon-fed and listening to sermons, and those are good, but the greatest depth you're going to learn is when you're reading the scriptures or you're listening to the scriptures. Commit that. Brothers and sisters, if you have not read the scriptures from cover to cover, commit that in the new year as we're approaching a new year, 2023. Commit that. Because when you do that, when I do that, when we're in the scriptures, it reveals things in us. It reveals our sin. And how is that good? It reveals our sin because then when somebody does something to me, I can bear it because I realize how much I do to others and how much I do to God. But if I'm not reading the scripture, what tends to happen with people who do not read the scripture that much, they think too highly of themselves. They think they're approaching sinlessness, or that they got it pretty much conquered, that they pretty much can go a whole day without sinning. And pretty much, if somebody would say such a thing, that means that we're not really analyzing ourselves all that deeply. Because all it would take probably is somebody to ask a few questions about attitudes, about things they've watched, things that they've looked at, and we'll immediately start to see, oh yeah, that's where I fell short. Fell short means sin. Oh, that's where I could have done better. Could have done better means you didn't do as good as you should have done. And then what happens is we become more understanding of others. We become more understanding of their things that may irritate us a little bit, may upset us a little bit, may not be the way that we would have done things, maybe not would have been this way that I would have said it. And we become more loving and kind because we see how we need that forgiveness. But when that which is, verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When that perfect is come, it's probably going to be when Christ comes. When Christ comes at the rapture, or when the kingdom comes down, when there's a new Jerusalem, or when we're in heaven, we're not going to have all this knowledge. You're not going to have any more preaching and teaching. We're going to have a new mind, a new thought process. God's going to reveal himself more clearly in our resurrected bodies, in our glorified bodies. Because when he was a child, he spake as a child. And this, we are now as children here. We're learning as children. We're thinking like children. But when we grow up, when we get to heaven, we're going to put away these childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. We see through it like a cloudy glass. Even with the scriptures that we have, even if we do read the Bible over and over once a year, that should almost be a regular tool that we as Christians use. And definitely those of us who pastor and preach the word, that should be definitely part of our regimen. But all of us, if we want to become more and more like Christ, if we want the church to grow, if we want the church to be the church that God intends for us to be, I need to be saturated in the Word. Not in our opinions, not in our thinkings, not in our little rabbit trails that we head off with. In the Word. Loving each other. Knowing each other. Knowing the Word. For now we know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And to my unconverted friends, the most important thing is not whether you know God, because I believe many of you, the unconverted here, you know who God is. You've heard him preached, you heard the gospel, you heard that you're a sinner. The most important question is, does God know you? 1 Corinthians 8:3 says this. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And another way to really say that is, if any man love God, God knows him. Does God know you? You remember when they came to Jesus in Matthew and they beat on the door and they said, you know, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We did prophesied, we did miracles, pounded the door. Not even that he knew him once. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. The only way you're going to experience the love of Jesus for all eternity, this love that never fails, this endless energy source, the only way is if Jesus knows you. And the only way Jesus will know you is if you are his child. And the only way you are Jesus' child, the child of God, the only way is if you have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. Have you placed your faith in him? Have you repented of your sins? And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. Why? Because hope, when we see Jesus, when we're in heaven, there's no more reason for hope. If I'm hoping to get some money and I get the money, I don't hope I got it anymore. I have it in my hand. When we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to know him. We're going to have fellowship with him. There's no reason to hope anymore. There's not even reason to have faith because our faith will be confirmed by sight. But charity will continue on. Love will continue on for all eternity. And then Paul, which probably should be part of the 13th chapter. We know that chapters came afterwards arbitrarily made by men to help us out till we know where to go with when we talk about the scripture, but we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Brothers and sisters, may we, in the coming year, may we follow and pursue with a viciousness, with a tenacity. May we pursue love above all the gifts. Above all that we pursue, may we pursue love.
We are a fallen people living on a cursed earth. And there will be challenges in this life, and there always has been, and there will continue to be as long as we are here upon this earth. And it's going to take charity, as the Bible here teaches us, that we might go through life and be blessed and fulfill what God would have us to fulfill. So I appreciate the challenge that was given to us in the message and also in the prayer as well, that we would insert our name here in verses 4 through 7 and challenge ourselves, is this how we are living? It starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with me. That's the attitude we have to have, is it starts with me. I'm not going to wait until you begin and then I'll begin, but and to live in this way continuously. But so I would just like to close then with these four verses again. Verses 4 through 7. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. God grant us each grace, day by day, to live according to these scriptures. Amen.